The expressed views of the guests on this podcast are theirs alone and not necessarily endorsed by the host, TWBC, or any associated sponsor. Conversations that are robust yet balanced, on point and to the point. You are listening to The Talk of Tournament Water Skiing. This is the TWBC podcast. And now, here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, here we are, 116 episodes strong, and we're still going. This is the TWBC podcast with me, Tony Lightfoot, and thanking you for your support once again. Well, here we are at the King of Darkness, right here in Horizon West, in the western portion of Orlando, believe it or not. We've finished the last of the elimination events with the men's slalom, and still in the competition and skiing in the finals is going to be none other than... Then Freddie Winter on this episode of On Tour with Freddie Winter. How are you doing?
I'm very good, Tony. Yeah, it feels like it was just yesterday we were talking. Hopefully everyone's not getting too bored of me, but yeah, no, I'm happy. I'm in the final. I came here the last 2 days to just make the final, and I would say not the best skiing I've ever done in my whole life. Certainly scores that I've had before and nothing exceptional, but that's what tomorrow is for.
Yes, indeed. Very targeted skiing, I found. You know, I mean, everything you did from the start through to the finish with your 13 pass and then 12, then 11, then 10.75. It looked very, very much in control. You knew exactly what you were doing right from the outset, and you really left nothing to chance with your performance out there.
Pretty functional, yeah. But that's, I mean, sometimes it's what you got to do. I mean, you know, as much as it should be, you know, all about passion, emotion and blood and thunder and that sort of stuff. I mean, I think, you know, there's no one here. It's been a very strange couple of days. We're used to having the qualifying, you know, to have you guys in the booth and commentary and Wade talking to us before we ski and after we ski. And the last couple of days have been honestly a little bit strange. This is not me complaining. I'm just saying it was different. There was just no vibe. There wasn't really anyone around. So it's kind of a different feeling to get hyped up. It reminded me of like all the record tournaments I used to do when I was a kid, but actually even less because, you know, there was no one around. So, but yeah, made it through. And tomorrow there'll be a crowd. We'll be skiing at night. And I've done this tournament a handful of times before when we had sort of more exhibition style slalom thing. And I am so excited to be a part of it. It really is a phenomenal event, and I hope we have a lot of people come out and watch.
Now you've done a lot of interviews on Dockside. You know, you've been with the microphone, you've actually conducted the interviews, and you're anticipating that Wade will probably do the same here during the course of this weekend. I'm not too sure actually if he's here, but I mean, let's go under the assumption that he will be. I mean, how much of a change is that from years past? You know, because in a lot of record tournaments and even some pro events, you know, the thought of actually getting interviewed before you go out, I mean, that was like holy sacrilege. You know, you don't do that kind of stuff, man.
I don't know. I mean, I certainly welcome it. I mean, people would say I talk too much and that I talk to people too much. So I actually have always enjoyed having a chat before I ski. It brings my nerves down a little bit. So no, I think it's great. And I think that it's just, it shows how much more professional our sport is and has become. Because I think, you know, back in the 80s and 90s, there was a lot of crowds, there's a lot of people. But then kind of through the end of 2000s, early 2010s, mid 2010s, like that was really when I was skiing, was, you know, from 2013 onwards, I've done more or less every pro event. And we'd turn up and it was a record tournament, and there was, you know, maybe a handful of people on the bank. Now we've got thousands of people watching online at any one time. Yeah. We've got people, you know, actually who care. I've got 25 people text me between rounds saying well done or commiserations or, you know, go and get that guy or whatever it is, you know. So I love it. I really love it. I think that the sport is so much better than it ever was, thanks to the work that you guys are doing and a lot of people are doing to kind of bring it more to the masses. And it's much more of an exciting thing to watch when you can get the personality of the skis out.
Now, you certainly mention emotion and passion, you know, I mean, when it comes to being an Englishman or anyone being English, tomorrow is going to be all about passion and emotion, isn't it, with the coronation. And we're going to not only crown the king of England and Northern Ireland and everywhere else within the realm, but also the King of Darkness. You see where I was going with it on that one.
Yeah, I actually thought about it this morning. Very good. But yeah, we've got the real coronation happening. I don't believe in Prince Charles at all. And
oh, you don't?
No. Jeez, no. I mean, we should have skipped him. Get rid of him. Go straight to William. Charles is, I mean, he's a distant second in terms of... In terms of, you know, worst royal after Harry, but
wow.
But William was the guy for me. The Queen was great. Prince Charles, I mean, I don't think anyone likes him.
No, you don't think anyone really likes him that much?
No. I mean, I've yet to meet one person. I've got a friend who refers to him as old sausage fingers. And it's fair. I mean, I can't. That's the guy that's going to represent our great country. You know, the only country with great in the name is Great Britain, and we're going to have that. I'm not allowed to swear, but
sausage fingers.
That, you know, old sausage fingers representing us and being our. You know, when it was the sweet old queen who was, you know, this beautiful old woman, very lovely. I mean, I could really get behind that. I mean, I'm no sort of royalist, but I enjoyed that we, you know, we had this benevolent queen, and now we've got Charles. It's just miserable. And sorry, but you know, they keep talking about Camilla being the queen. She is not the queen. She never will be. So anyway, that's what I think about that.
okay, old sausage fingers. You're going to reap something for that in the bowl of spray, aren't you?
That was my application for a knighthood, or an MBE or something.
No, that should be the title of your autobiography.
What, old sausage fingers?
Yeah.
Okay, well, hopefully I can earn a better nickname than that. But yeah.
All right then. So slaloming isn't the only thing going on. I mean, we had like the women before, pretty much the usual suspects through to the finals there. Jamie Ball, Ali Nicholson, Regina Jaquess, and Whitney McClintock Reaney. Anything that kind of stood out there for you, or were you too focused on what you were going to do to matter what was on the water so much?
I didn't watch much of anyone because I was focused on my own thing, but I mean, yeah, like those are the top four female skiers in the world right now, aren't they? Really, the ones that are doing all the tournaments. So I think Ali was always in the top four last year, and you know, you'd probably say fairly that the three ladies that won a tournament last year were Regina, Whitney, and Jamie. So it's going to be. Yeah, it's going
to
be great.
And it would appear that Team Syndicate is off to a pretty pretty sprightly start with the Brand Constructors Championship that is part of the Water Ski Pro Tour, with the backing of TWBC behind the season-long prize. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's really exciting. I mean, it's just another thing for people to get behind. I mean, I support it, obviously, and I'm interested to see where it goes. I'm interested to see how involved people get with it in terms of, you know, their support. I do still believe this is an individual sport. So I hope that it's sort of an icing on the cake as opposed to becoming the main event. Because, yeah, I mean, this sport is about individuals more than teams, in my opinion. But no, I'm certainly looking forward to it. I think it's another layer that people are going to get excited about.
And so far as the men's competition is concerned, I mean, you made it through. Thomas de Gasperi, you know, that guy amazes me even to this day. I mean, he went out there. He's Mr. Three, isn't he? I mean, you can basically bet your house on him getting at least halfway down course on 10.25 meters on any given occasion.
Yeah, exactly. And 42 this year if he's not already. So I mean, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, looking at the stats of it, you've got Nate, the young man at 32, myself, me, 33, Will at 40, turning 41 this year, and then Thomas either 42 already or 42 this year. So, and it is funny. I mean, you know, the three guys I'm competing against tomorrow are the three guys that have been winning ever since I've been doing this. So it's fun, you know. A lot of tournaments won between the four of us.
Yeah, and big commiserations obviously to Robert Hazelwood, who's standing a few feet away from us here. You know, he was just a little way shy of making it into the big game. But we expect to see and hear a lot of good things in the future from that young man.
Yeah, three Brits in the top five, and that's not so bad, is it?
That's how it should be. I mean, that should be passed into law, I believe.
Oh, no, we'll just keep earning it, mate.
All right, then. So other events, we got King of Darkness. It's generally centered around the jump event, and I mean, I hasten to even ask questions regarding the jump event or anything like that. But I mean, you do keep an eye on what's going on. But so far as the women's jump are concerned, I mean, with distances well in excess of 185 feet, you can't be but impressed about of the likes of Hanna Stoltzova taking the lead in the jump event, and you know, and just really turning the screw on every other person that has set out in the water in this stage of the competition.
Yeah, I actually looked at her scores. I saw those scores come in, and they were very, very good. I think that's her second and third best score ever, and she did it in consecutive rounds. And I think also that her best score ever was at Bennett, her home site. So, you know, really, really good to see her do that. And I mean, at 185 and 6 feet, I think that were her two jumps in each round. She's, you know, people kind of say, well, you know, Jacinta's not here, so, you know, it's not a full competition. But I mean, Jacinta's a hell of an athlete and hasn't lost in all these years. She's not here though, but would she be comfortably beating those? I'm not going to say she would necessarily. Mm. I mean, she's a hell of a jumper, but Hannah's obviously done something over the winter.
Yeah.
I'm going to get a really snotty message from Jacinta, I imagine, for saying
quite
that.
But I mean, you can bank on that one.
I'm just saying that Hannah's moving up, and that's really good to see.
Okay, let me put a disclaimer right here, because, I mean, I live in Zachary, Louisiana. I work at Bennett's Water Ski School during the summer, you know, with coaching and stuff like that. And Hannah trains there, you know. So, I mean, obviously there's a little bit of bias, if you haven't already noticed, as so far as Hanna Stoltzova is concerned. But the one other point that I want to make so far as Hanna is concerned is her jumps of 185, 106 feet are actually better than the best jumps of Jacinta Carroll this season. Now, I know it's comparing Moomba to the Isles of Lake Hancock is like comparing chalk to cheese, but the numbers don't lie.
No, the numbers don't lie. I'm taking nothing away from Hannah. You couldn't pay me enough money to. I mean, I would never be able to go 186 feet. I'm actually talking in favour of Hannah here. I think that, you know, she's really pushing. She's getting her biggest jumps in. It's the first tournament season. She's going to move up and up and up in the five or six events that there are this year that she has.
All right, then. One final event before we go. The men's jump. It all centres around that. It's going to be the grand finale of tomorrow night's proceedings. Saturday night here at in Horizon West, and Freddy Krueger. Yeah, I mean, when is this guy going to stop?
Well, I think he'll stop when he feels he's not competitive, and I mean that could be in 10 years. Honestly, he's an animal. Okay, he passed his last three jumps there in the second round because he didn't need to. I think that it's unlike in slalom where you kind of there's a lot less scores to get, I guess, in terms of, you know, you've got quarters and halves and full buoys. In jump, it's very unlikely you're going to tie to the tenth of a meter in the final, or less likely. So he knows that he'll just go and have to put a big one out. He's in a really good spot before Dorian and before Joel. Put the pressure on those guys. Though, you know, let's be honest, Joel Poland seems to quite like pressure. So
yeah,
maybe that's going to be an interesting battle. Freddie's won. He won California last year. Came second at all. He came second at Malibu. Came third at LA Night Jam, and he came third at Masters. So went behind Joel twice last year at the Masters, where Joel won, and when Joel came second at LA Night Jam. So he'll, you know, I think. Look, I'm in a hard place. I count Joel Poland as a good friend. I count Freddy Krueger as a good friend. I support them both. At the same time, sorry, Joel. I mean, you know, I do like to see Freddy extend his legend.
And, you know, as fate would have it, in the men's jump final, you're going to get two guys from Great Britain, two guys from the United States, two guys from Canada, and two guys from Chile. How about a little bit of an international, head-to-head final type deal?
Yeah, that's quite cool, actually. Yeah, no, very good. We've got a lot of symmetry going on.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. I mean, Conley Panette is in the final. So is... who was the other Canadian that made it through to the final, I believe? I can't remember his name. It'll come to me. Obviously, Joel Poland through to the next
round. And
Jack Critchley. Jack Critchley opened up with like a 67-meter jump. Very, very impressive.
Taylor and Freddie.
Conley Panette and Dorian Llewellyn, that's the one. So
okay, and of course Ryan missing, which is a strange one. I gotta say I don't understand.
I don't get that.
Ryan's got all his reasons, not being negative about anyone here, but surprised to not see him on the start list, because we're an hour and a half away from his house or whatever. It's, you know, he did earlier this year fly to Moomba on the other side of the world for I think less money. I think there's a little bit more money here actually at this tournament. So you know, not that it's all about money, but yeah, I wonder what it is there. He's maybe saving himself a Masters, and fair enough. But yeah, I mean, shame not to see, you know, the three guys that won last year, Joel, Freddie and Ryan, who I think won two or three of them. Mastercraft Pro, he won Malibu, and he won Moomba, and maybe that was it. But yeah, I mean, so you know, it would be nice to see him here.
And I know I know you love talking about the Masters so much, but we'll kind of pivot away from that for the time being.
Thank you, Tony. No, good. You're my training wheels here. Like, get me away from it.
Okay, I'm just trying to keep you on the straight and level here. So, not only do we have this event here at the Isles of Lake Hancock and Horizon West, but we've got Swiss Pro. Now, compressed schedule between this event and the other. I mean, that's going to take a toll on even the better slalom skiers in the women's and men's competition, you know, because you've got your... I mean, you slalom today on Thursday. We had to move this event up because of the conditions and the possibility that the conditions may not be favourable for the jumping event, all that kind of stuff. That's beside the point now. But how do you... How do you reset and get ready for a tournament such as the Swiss Pro Slalom, which will be on Sunday?
Well, I think the big change is going to be changing boats. We've got the Mastercraft, obviously, this weekend, which is until Saturday evening, which is going to be great. And then we got the Nautique on Sunday. That's going to be a bit of a change. You know, you've always got to adapt just a little bit between boats, going whichever way. Towards the Nautique or towards the Mastercraft, but also I'm planning to do the two rounds tomorrow, hopefully the semi-finals and the final, and then obviously the three rounds on Sunday, so with the two prelims and a final. So, you know, hopefully at that point we can a lot of rounds, seven rounds across 4 days, so maybe fatigue will set in, but you know, I feel young and fit, so
I'm sure you must have like a ton of KT tape on standby.
No, not really. I've got the one for the week.
You have?
Yeah, just the one for the week. Yeah, clean it all up, give it a good old scrub, and it stays there. I don't like changing it because my strange sort of neurosis says that you know, every time I put it on, it's slightly different. So I want to keep the same thing throughout all the tournament sets. Then I take it off on my day off.
Does that apply to your socks as well? Because on your right foot you're wearing a grey sock, and on your left foot you're wearing a red sock. Now the only person who's any stranger about doing that is having a tattoo on his right or his left ankle, so Joel Burnham can figure out which one to put in the binding for tricks or slalom.
Yeah, I think he gets confused quite a lot because he seems to put his different foot in on, you know, on different days. I'm running low. I actually need to do a laundry wash this evening, and I'll have some more paired up socks the rest of the week. But yeah, I mean, I've never been a big fan of spending, you know, of wasting, let's say, 10 minutes of every week putting socks together. That's just time I'll never get back. So I can scroll Instagram or something.
All right. Okay. So, what brand of wash? I'm sure it's going to come up in the bowl of spray form. But what type of detergent do you go for?
Whatever's on sale.
Whatever's on sale.
I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, you see, he's budget conscious, ladies and gentlemen.
I am a professional water skier, and I do things the cheap way. The effective way, but the cheap way. I don't do things unnecessarily.
He doesn't throw his money like he's won the lotto or anything like that, you know?
No, because you never know when the next tournament's going to come, which is going to put money in your pocket. Hopefully, I mean, thankfully, I've made some money this weekend already, but of course, the higher I can get up towards and to the top of the podium, the more money I will have from the King of Darkness, and then hopefully through Swiss on Sunday.
All right, then that was episode 2 of On Tour with Freddie Winter here on the TWBC podcast. This is the 116th total episode, and we continue to produce new episodes on a regular basis during the summer. If you want to get in contact with me to help support the podcast, by all means do. Go to podcast@waterskibroadcasting.com, podcast@waterskibroadcasting.com, and I'll be more than happy to hear from you. And until next time, it is ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.